There's a very strange scene at the end of the parsha. A very unusual scene where Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Klal Yisrael. According to Rashi, this actually took place before the Asaras Hadibros. It took place on the 4th of Sivan. And Moshe comes to Bnei Yisrael, and he's teaching them some of the rules of the Torah, reviewing with them some of the things that happened previously in the Torah. And they build a Mizbeach, and they begin to offer Karbanos. And if you take a look in source number 1, in Pasuk Hay, in the third line, Vayishlach es na'arei b'nei Yisrael v'ayalu olos, Moshe sent some young Jews to bring karbanos, v'yizbuchu zvachim shlamim l'Hashem parim, a variety of karbanos, olos and shlamim, v'yikach Moshe chatzi hadam v'yasem ba'aganos. And Moshe started to gather the blood, and he placed it into some type of kli. V'chatzi hadam zarak al mizbeach. And the other half of the blood, he sprinkled on the Mizbeach. What did he do with the half of the blood that he saved for himself? Amazing, the Torah says. It's an unusual scene. Again, it doesn't seem like a Jewish ritual to us even. Pasuk Zayin, V'yichach Sefer HaBris. Moshe took the Sefer HaBris. Rashi says he read them from Bereshis through sort of that point in Jewish history. Again, it's a question whether or not that's how the Torah was given. Did Moshe have the first section of the Torah, sort of, you know, like, let's review all of history since creation up to Kabbalah Satorah, but that's what Rashi says. Vayikra v'hazne ha'am, vayomer kol asher diber Hashem nase v'nishma, vayikach Moshe as hadam, Moshe takes the blood that he had in that vessel, in that kli, vayizrok al ha'am, and he sprinkled it on the people. Or perhaps he sprinkled it, some of Farshim say, towards the people. But imagine, Klal Yisrael, they're standing there, Moshe sprinkling, flinging blood at them, this is the blood of the covenant. Half of the blood sprinkled on the Mizbeach, half of the blood sprinkled on the Jewish people. A bris, a bond between Hashem, as represented by the Mizbeach, and the Jewish people literally being sprinkled with blood. Okay. Rashi has a very interesting comment. Rashi says, and this is all to get us to what I wanted to talk about today, Rashi says, who divided the blood? Who made sure that the blood was precisely even? That the pasuk says half. Half means half, no? Half means half. So who ensured that half of the blood was sprinkled on the Mizbeach, half of the blood was sprinkled on the Jewish people? Rashi says, Mi Chalko, in source number 2, who divided the blood? Malach ba v'chalko. An angel came and divided the blood. Just to make sure that everyone, you know, it's like when I'm cutting a piece of cake for my children, and they're like measuring it to see, making sure everyone gets a very fair piece of cake. It would be unfair if someone got like a tiny sliver more of Shabbos dessert, you know? So it wouldn't be fair if some of the blood was given a little extra to Hashem, or a little extra to Klal Yisrael. So a malach came down, and the malach divided the blood, measured the blood, making sure exactly 50-50. It's a strange Rashi. It's based on a medrash. Why do you need a malach to divide the blood 50-50? So I want to use this again just as a hakdama to get to the point that I want to share with you today. There was a tzaddik who died in the Holocaust. His name was Rav Shem Klingberg. And we have a small volume from him called Oalei Shem in source number 3. And he quotes from the Kuznetzer Magid, one of the great tzaddikim of Hasidus, who raises the question, why do you need a malach to divide it exactly evenly? As if Klal Yisrael would have complained. And let's be honest, if we're going to err in one direction, so let's go 51% for God and 49% for us. It was so critical that a malach should divide the blood 50-50. Explains the Kuznetzer Magid, I'm reading where it's bolded in source number 3. V'tireit sh'rotzon Hashem yisbarach hu laharoz chibaso liYisrael, sh'lo yehei chelko gadol mishalem. Hashem in his love for the Jewish people said to Klal Yisrael, you have to understand, my love for you is such that I don't want it to be 51-49. I want it to be 50-50. I want our relationship to line up in such a way that is so perfect. We're so in sync with each other. And to Hashem, it mattered that it should be 50-50. And he goes further and he says, V'hayazeh gam b'chodesh sivan. Of course, this whole scene was taking place in the month we would receive the Torah, which is the month of Sivan. Every month has an astrological sign, a mazel, a horoscope. What is the mazel for the month of Sivan? And when you're born in May, right? Gemini, twins, tuumim. Shemazlo tuumim. The mazel of the month of Sivan is twins. Why? What does twins have to do with anything? If I ask you, tell me about Chodesh Sivan, you'll say, that's the month of Kabbalah Satorah, Shavuos. That's when we got the Torah. What does that have to do with twins? But the answer is that Hashem wanted to see us as partners with Him as we stood at Har Sinai. Twins. Not I'm better and you're worse. Twins, working together. Identical twins in a certain sense. Ukavisha Omer, as people say, he has a Yiddish expression here, Ein Blot, Ein Fleisch. One blood, one flesh. A oneness, uniting the Jewish people with Hashem. L'rameis alachi b'hanizkar le'el, alluding to this deep love that is felt between Hashem to us and us to Hashem. Says the Ovalei Shem, so that's all from the Kozhnitz or Magid, the Magid of Kozhnitz, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. Says Rav Shem Klingberg, Hashem should avenge his blood, murdered by the Nazis, gunned down, machine gun, Rachmana Litzlan. He says, perhaps there's something more. Our relationship with Hashem comes in many different forms. So he says, for example, you can see again, continuing where it's bolded, Va'amar kvod kedushas Adoni Avi Moiri Zatza. My father explained, Lahazbir Zeh, Al pi ma sha'amru shlosha kinuye chiba kara Hashem li Yisrael. Three different terms, expressions of love that Hashem used in describing his relationship with Klal Yisrael. Aleph, Banim atem la Hashem lokechem. We're like children to Hashem. Bez, Laman Achai Vire'ai. You're like a brother to me. You're like a sibling to me. You're like a best friend to me. Maybe the husband-wife, the spousal relationship. And Gimel, Te'umim, twins. Twins. Not just that we are related, one blood, one flesh. Not that we choose to be friends, or that we're siblings and we look a little bit alike. But to umim, twins, identical twins. As the Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Pischi li achosi. Achosi is a lashon of tied together. To be ma'acha in Hebrew means to stitch something together. To turn two pieces into one. And that's what twins are. There's a certain oneness that they share. Chazal even say in one place in the Medrash that twins, I don't know if this is true, I don't have a twin, but apparently twins sometimes can, I think it is true, I think scientifically, I think there's interesting studies on this, that sometimes a twin can sense how the other twin is feeling. So like a twin will say, like, oh, I had a terrible headache today. Oh, I did too. That's so weird. There's a strange bond that exists between twins, and therefore the height, the deepest of our relationship, in a certain sense, is expressed in Shir HaShirim as Tomasi, Tu'umasi, my twin. Achosi, Yonasi, Rayasi, Tomasi, my twin. That we're one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So says the Ovalei Shem, if you were going to try to draw, to somehow map out, to draw a picture of this of these three relationships, parent-child, siblings, or friends, or maybe spouse, and twins, how would you draw it? If you're making a family tree, how would you draw it? So he says, maybe you would do, if you were drawing a parent to child, so you would make like a circle, and you'd write, you know, mom, and under that you would make a circle, and you'd write daughter. Right? If you were doing siblings, so they would be sort of side by side in the family tree, right? A circle that says, you know, brother, and a circle that says sister. And if you wanted to show that there was a bond of maybe twins, maybe you put them even within a single circle to show that these two actually are sort of one. Says Rav Shem Klingberg, the nekudos of the Torah are one of the deep secrets of the Torah. We have a nikud called shva, a dot on top of a dot. We have a nikud called seirei, two dots side by side. We have a single dot called a chirik. So he says, perhaps these different relationships are alluded to by the different nekudos of the Torah. Okay, very interesting. But then he says an amazing thing. He says in the last bolded section, the last bolded line, Ve'efsher l'ramez kol gimel suge chiba b'milas b'rei shis. Look at the first word of the Torah. It's such a beautiful and deep idea. B'rei shis. Under the bays, you see a bit, right? You see a shva, a dot on top of a dot. In other words, you open up the Chumash and you're trying to figure out, so like, what's my connection here? What am I doing here? What's my relationship with Hashem supposed to be? And Hashem says, well, it's a lot of different things. Let me hint it to you in the first word of the Torah. A dot on top of a dot. Sometimes we're going to have a parent-child relationship, maybe a king to a subject relationship. Sometimes rei, under the reish, you have a tzeirei, two dots side by side representing Again, that brotherly, leman achai v're'ai type of relationship. And then under the shin, you're going to have the chiruk, that single dot, representing the desire of Hashem to partner with you in the deepest of ways. And that's why, yes, Hashem says, yes, a malach needs to come down from Shemayim to split the blood, 50-50. Because the main relationship I want you to have with me is not one that's top-down or even detached side-by-side, but I want to be one with you. Ein blot, ein fleisch. One blood, one flesh. The deepest bond, and that's what's happening in Kabbalah Sattar. Ad Kan, the words of Rav Shem Klink. Thinking, you know, these three dots maybe represent three other relationships that we have. Not three stations of our relationship with Hashem, but three modes of relating. Maybe a dot on top of a dot, a shva, is sort of Adam L'Makom relationship. If I asked you to point to Hashem, of course Hashem is everywhere, but we think of Hashem as above us. So maybe the dot on top of the dot is Bein Adam L'Makom. And maybe the dot alongside the dot, two dots side by side, say, right, maybe that's Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. And maybe the single dot is supposed to represent that third dimension of relationship, Bein Adam L'Atzmo, being in touch with oneself. And they're all important. They're all so important that actually the world stands on these three relationships. So you'll tell me, I learned Pirkei Avos, and that's not what I saw in Pirkei Avos. So let's learn Pirkei Avos together in source number 4. Shimon HaTzadik hayu b'shiyari k'neses ha'gadola, hu hayu omer al shlosha dvarim ha'olam omeh, the world stands on three things, on three principles, al ha'Torah ve'al ha'avoda, ve'al gemilas chasad. Did you ever notice that these three correspond to the three types of relationships that we have? Which one is Bein Adam L'Makom? Avoda. Avoda we think of as Tfilah, Karbanos, it's how I serve Hashem. Which one is Bein Adam L'Chaveiro? Gemilas Chasadim. Gemilas Chasadim, what do I do for someone else? So I guess by default, that means that Torah must be Bein Adam La'atzma. And that's what the Maharal of Prague actually writes about 500 years ago. In a certain sense, the essence of Torah is being able to be true to oneself, being in tune with oneself, knowing oneself, understanding oneself. They're all very important. These are the three pillars upon which the world stands. And like it says in Kohelis, a three-ply cord is not easily broken. So we have to work on all three of them. And that's why, perhaps, again, the first word of the Torah, B'Re'shis. Make sure you put time into your Bein Adam L'Makom. Make sure you put time into your Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. Make sure you put time into your Bein Adam L'Atzmo. Don't be so selfless that you don't put enough time into working on yourself. They're all really important. But I want to speak about the one. I want to emphasize one of the three. I want to focus on the Bein Adam L'Chaveiro today. Because the Shabbos we have, so to speak, a double Parsha. It's Parshas Mishpatim. Is there a Parsha in Chumash that is more about Bein Adam L'Chaveiro than Parshas Mishpatim? It's all about our interactions with others. It's about my responsibilities when things go right with others. It's about my responsibility when things go wrong with others. That's what Parshas Mishpatim is. And on top of that, this Shabbos, as we come to Chodesh Adar, I hope we'll have a chance for a Purim Shir between now and Purim. I don't know if we will. But this Shabbos is the first of the special four Parshios that we read between now and Chodesh Nisan. Parshas Shkalim. And there's a lot of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro in that half shekel. But to get there, let's look together at a Gemara that appears in Maseches Megillah. What's the idea of the shekel? And why are we bringing it now? Why are we talking about Shkalim in conjunction with Parsha Mishpatim? We didn't even get to Chodesh Adar yet. And what does the shekel have to do with Chodesh Adar? So if you look in source number 5, the Gemara in Megillah tells us the following. Amar Reish Lakish. It was known to the creator of the world, Hashem knew from the beginning of time, that there was going to be a wicked individual named Haman who's going to try to buy out his people, the Jewish people, for shkalim. Someone is going to try to put a price tag on the Jewish people. So you know what Hashem did? And this, by the way, is the rule always. Hashem always prepares the medicine before the illness. Hashem always prepares the resolution before the problem even arrives. L'fichach hiktim shikleyan l'shiklov. Hashem says, I'm going to beat Haman to the punch. I'm going to already make an inyan. I'm going to make a to-do out of shekel. And that way when Haman tries to buy out the Jewish people for his shkalim, hiktim shikleim the shiklov, the Jewish people's shkalim are going to get a head start and get ahead of Haman. And says the Gemara, that's what it says, be'echad ba'adar mashmi'in ala shkalim. That on the first of Adar is when they used to announce in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, it's time to start collecting the shkalim. Now the shkalim were being used for the Beis HaMikdash. But it was also foreshadowing, says Rish Lakish, Hashem knew that one day someone's going to try to put a shekel price tag on the Jewish people. So Hashem in His kindness allowed us to what? To bring our shekel to beat Haman. So yes, we're beginning to prepare for Purim this Shabbos. But again, Parshas Mishpatim is a Bein Adam L'Chavero Parsha. It's a big Bein Adam L'Chavero Parsha. It's all about how do I interact with others. So what does that have to do with the shekel? And what's our response to Haman HaRasha? Because Haman HaRasha makes a really nasty claim about the Jewish people. And the more you understand what he's really saying, it's really bad. And it's unfortunately a little bit true. And that's why it stings so much. Says Haman to Achashverosh in source number 6. Vayomer Haman lemelech Achashverosh. Yeshno am echad mefuzar u'mefurad ben ha'am. There's this one people. You know, Achashverosh, you rule the whole world. The Gemara says Achashverosh is one of three kings who dominated the entire civilized world. Achashverosh, you have this massive control over everything, but there's this one group that just doesn't behave. Yeshno am echad, there's this one people. They're a little bit here, they're a little bit there. They're mefuzar, mefurad, bein ha'amim. They don't have a place of their own. They're scattered throughout b'chol medinos malchusecha, throughout your kingdom. And they're just weird, they're different. Daseim shonos, shonos mikol am. Their way of doing things is always different. Whatever the rest of the world does, these Jews always do the opposite. And they're not healthy for your kingdom. V'zdase ha-melech einam osim. They don't listen to the king. V'lemelech ein shova lahanicham. And it's not worth it for the king to keep them around. They're just a nuisance. Mamish, spoken like a true anti-Semite, you know? Just get rid of these Jews. All they do is cause trouble. All they do is... Right, what about all the accomplishments of the Jewish people? No, forget about that. They're different, so... They make us uncomfortable, so let's get rid of them. What was Haman saying? Yeshno am echad mefuzar mefurad. What was he claiming about the Jewish people? If you think about it, it's very precise. The Gemara says there was no one in history who was a bigger and more professional, so to speak, Baal Lashon Hara than Haman HaRasha. He was the greatest Lashon Hara speaker of all time. He knew how to say things in a way that even the listener didn't fully understand intellectually what was being said. There was a certain intonation to the way that he said things. You just felt what he was saying. There's a lot of depth to what he's saying here, and it hurts. What's he saying? Yeshno am echad. There's this one nation. Am echad. He's saying there's a nation that really is echad. They're the ones who are the ultimate expression of echad, both as a people. In terms of how the Jewish people think about it, is there any other religion in the world that's a family? Is Islam a family? Is Christianity a family? There are groups of people who gather around collective ideas. The Jewish people are a family. We're all related to each other. We're all cousins. It's kind of nice, no? We're all related to each other. We're a family. The Jewish people are a family. We're B'nai Yisrael. We even call ourselves B'nai Yisrael. Right? Yisrael died a long time ago. Yaakov was not around. Why wouldn't we be Bnei Yisrael? But that's who we are. We're children of one family. So Haman says, Yeshno Am Echad, there's this Am Echad, there's this people who should be so natural at being connected to each other, at working together, of looking out for each other. Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, Parshas Mishpatim. Yeshno Am Echad. They say every day, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. They're all about Echad, Echad, Echad. There are people that understand oneness, or they should at least, and that's how he's poking fun at us, but they're mifuzar mifurad beinam. He's not talking about, you know, the way that the Jewish people are spread out. There's some Jews who live here, there's some Jews who live there. What was Haman saying about Klal Yisrael? And it really hurts. There was a great Italian commentator in the late 1500s, early 1600s, Rav Azariah Figo. He wrote works of halacha. He also wrote drushos. And in his drashos bina li'itim, in source number 7, he says, you know what Haman was really saying? Kavanas Haman haya lekatre gulahalshin. He was speaking Lashon Hara. She'ein b'neim achdus v'shalom. He was saying the Jews internally It's not just that they're annoying to have around because of the problems that they create, you know, by not listening to the local rules, by thinking differently. But they don't even get along with themselves. They're always fighting with themselves. There's a lack of achdus and shalom. Va'af shehei mefuzarim, you would think that a people who's mefuzar, think about it. If we're such a tiny percentage of humanity, you would think, given the fact that we're so few, we'd look after each other, no? There's not like so many of us to look out for each other. So if you find a fellow Jew, you would think that like there should be this automatic and awesome connection. But Hamid said sometimes it's not there. And that's sad. They're mifuzarim ma'atena ma'atena. They're a little bit here, they're a little bit there. Hayamin haroi achar hayosim rechokim elu mi'elu. It would make sense, since they are so spread out from one another, sha'osu ha'ma'at ha'nimtza yachad, you would expect. Those that end up in the same place, those that happen to attend Stern College, you would think that since we all happen to be in this place, and there's a lot more other out there in the world than us, you would assume that everyone probably is like best friends. And everyone gets along, and everyone looks out for each other. One would think, Haman says. But what's so sad about these Jews is that what? The Einam came, he says. Elahu mifurad beino leveino. You hear what he's saying? Yeshno am echad, there's a people who should know how to get along for so many reasons. Because they're a family, because they're so few, because they're so scattered. And you would think that would be the greatest reason why they would look out for each other, and God wouldn't have to remind them so much about it. And yet here we are, right after Parshas Yisro. We just got the Ten Commandments, we just received the Torah at our Sinai, and how do we begin? Mishpatim. Don't forget about each other. Look out for each other. Bein adam l'chaveru. Says Haman, yeshno am echad mefuzar, they're scattered, there's so few of them, and they're still mefurad. And they still can't get along. What's wrong with these people? They're not worth keeping around. They're only going to destroy your kingdom. That kol echad misrachek misparid michaveru. Despite being so few, they're still distant from each other. They still can't get past, like, hey, how's it going? You know, like in the elevator. Like, maybe care a little more. Say something a little bit more. Or go sit down at a table, like in the cafeteria, with someone who you don't know so well. That shouldn't be so weird. But it is. And that's a problem. And Haman's exploiting that problem to undermine the essence of who the Jewish people are. So what's our response to Haman? Like Reish Lakish said, how do we beat Haman, so to speak, to this very evil Lashon Hara spoken against us, undermining the essence of who we are as a people, as a family? We bring the half shekel. How is the half shekel the response? Let's read the Pesukim. This Shabbos we read a little section from Parshas Kisisa, we read Mishpatim, and we read Parshas Shkalim. Again, the first of the four Parshios, Shkalim, Zachor, Parah, and Hach. Source number 8. Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Lemar, Kisisa es Rosh B'nai Yisrael lefkudehem. When you want to take a census of the Jewish people, when you want to count their heads, how do you do so? V'nasnu ish kofer nafsho la Hashem b'fkod osam. You should give some type of kofer, some type of kapara. What are we being mechaper for? What are we atoning for? V'lo yevhem negev b'fkod osam. And don't count the Jews, because bad things happen when we count Jews. The Torah says you don't count Jews, okay? Zeyinu, this is what shall be given. Kol ha'over ala pekudim, machasis ha-shekel b'shekel ha-kodesh. Everyone should give a machasis ha-shekel. And all the mafarshim are trying to figure out what is the lesson of the machasis ha-shekel. Why a half a shekel? Kedushas Levi, or Levi Yitzchak Berditchev, says maybe it's a lesson that no matter how much I dedicate myself to Hashem, there's always more to grow. I've given half of my efforts to Hashem. I should always see myself as wanting more. A lot of lessons in the Machzis HaShekel. The Oiv Yisrael, the After Rav, has a beautiful, beautiful essay on the Machzis HaShekel. It's a little bit long, and we'll read a little bit of inside, but it brings us full circle. It brings us back into Parshas Mishpatim. And it helps us to explain the way that the Sanhedrin sat in the Beis HaMikdash. It helps us to understand the secret of the Machzis HaShekel. It helps us to understand our relationship with Hashem, with each other, and therefore, let's put in the time to learn some of His holy words inside. Source number 9. He begins again by quoting those psukim that we started with, the psukim in Parshas Mishpatim, Moshe taking half the blood and sprinkling it on the Jewish people. Okay, but we need to understand again what this is all about. He writes where it's bolded, Lama chilek adam v'shtayim v'chatzi samba agonos. Why did Moshe split the blood in half? He gathered it into some type of vessel, and he was very precise about it, like we saw in Rashi. Hashem was trying to express a certain relationship with us, 50-50. So he says, I want to begin by describing to you how the Sanhedrin, the greatest rabbis, the center of Torah in the Beis Hamikdash, I want to remind you, he says, what it looked like, and I wanted to explain to you why it looked that way. I'm reading just where it's bolted. He quotes a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, which is a reference to the Sanhedrin. V'zeh koy al Sanhedrin shayu yoshvin kechatzi goren agula. The Sanhedrin, when they sat, were not in rows like this, although there were rows also of people, of younger up-and-coming Sanhedrin members. But the Sanhedrin sat in a half a circle, in a chatzi goren agula. They sat in half a circle, in a semicircle. Kamo ha-sahar, kishe'ena b'milua adayin. Like the moon, when it's not full. Like a crescent. They sat in the shape of half a circle. Okay? What's that about? He asks, Lama hayu yoshvin kaseder zed dafka chachatzi eagle. Why did they sit as half a circle? Why did they sit as a full circle? What were they being reminded of? He said, I want to delve into a sod atik, an ancient secret. There's a lot that's being hinted to in this half circle, and it's the secret of the half shekel, and it's the secret of the half of the blood that was sprinkled on the Mizbeach and half on Klal Yisrael. Eich kutshevrichu v'Yisrael chad inun, you have to understand how we and HaKadosh Baruch Hu meet up along the way, and we partner. There's a oneness to the Jewish people and Hashem. Again, think back to what we learned, that Kabbalah HaTorah in the month of Sivan, the month of Tu'umim, of twins, this perfect partnership between us and Hashem. That the Jewish people and Hashem are one, and they unify through Torah and mitzvahs. Through Torah and mitzvahs, we come together. Continuing again where it's bolted. U'kiveyachol, kiveyachol, habari baruch hu v'ruch shema u'legodel otzim ha'avastu l'bnei Yisrael ha'am karovo. Because Hashem, so to speak, loves us so much. U'leman tovo v'chastu ha'gadol, and because of His great kindness to us. Think about creation itself. If you learn the deeper svarim, it explains that before there was us, there was only Hashem. And Hashem made space for us. Hashem, so to speak, said, you know what, I'm willing to be half the circle and to leave space for you to be, so to speak, that other half of the circle. Hashem was the tzam tzemes atzmo, kiviyachol u'kiviyachol. Hashem, as it were, retracted himself, removed himself, likari b'shem b'chinas plag gufa. He made himself, so to speak, half a body. Hashem removed some of his essence. Hashem made space for us. U'bnei Yisrael him b'chinas plag gufa hasheni. And we're, so to speak, the second half of the structure of the body. And therefore, he says, "Ularamis yichud hakadosh hazeh," to allude to this great unification that takes place. The greatest rabbi, the representation of Klal Yisrael, the Sanhedrin, sitting in the Lishchas HaGazis in the Beis HaMikdash, they sat in half a circle. What was, so to speak, the other half of the circle that was missing? HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself represents the other half of the circle. Hasanhedrin Yoshim Kachatzi Goyren Agula, Bibachinas Plag, Vachatzi Hasheni Kiviachol Kiviachol, Hu Habore Baruch Hu Uvaruch Shema. Hashem completes the circle. Hashem is the other half of the circle. That's an amazing thing, to have the audacity to sit in half a circle as if to say, we're bringing our half, Hashem, you're going to bring your half. And we're going to meet you in the middle. This is the Raz of the Echad, the secret of the oneness of Hashem and the Jewish people. It's scary, it's intense. It's overwhelming to think about, but that's how Hashem wants it to be. And that's why Hashem called Moshe on that fourth of Sivan. He gathered him up. He told him, here's the plan. I want you to go back down. I want you to review whatever we know about Torah with the Jewish people before we come to the Aseres Dibros. And I want you to bring karbanos, and I want half the blood to go to me and half the blood to go to Bnei Yisrael. And I want to make a covenant of blood. Writes the Ohev Yisrael a very interesting thing in the next paragraph. When two friends, or two world leaders, and maybe this sounds a little bit ancient, but it's still true, some people still do this today. When two people want to be koyres bris, to make some type of covenant, a promise, a treaty to each other. V'hayu lebasar echad. Again, like we saw in the words of the Ohelei Shem, right? One blood and one flesh, to really unify in the deepest way. V'deya achas, with one way of thinking. as darcham limsor kol echad ve'echad nafsho avur chaver. So each one wants to, so to speak, do something to express the fact that I'm willing, I would give my life for you. I would give up my soul for you. I would give my blood for you. V'nimtza, so what do? V'nimtza dama me'urav yachad. They find a way to blend their blood, to somehow show that we're one. How do they do that? Ki adam hu ha-nefesh, as after all, the Torah says, the dam is the soul. So I want to show someone, I'll be prepared to give my essence for you. My whole life is incomplete without you. Shu ikar koach ha-nafshi, I'm willing to give my blood, which is the essence of my soul. So how do they do it? And he says, this is what happens sometimes. Hanoik sheba olam, kishashnei malachim korsim bris. What do? He says, they'll prick their fingers, right, and they'll mingle their blood. Sometimes he says they had a practice that someone would put a drop of my blood into your cup of wine, and you put a drop of blood into my cup of wine, and we drink the wine, so to speak, as you know. Again, maybe not the healthiest, safest thing to do. Don't try this at home. But this was a way of showing absolute commitment to someone else, a mingling of my essence, of my blood, my flesh, and my blood. An unbelievable idea. And he says, and that's what's happening in Parshas Mishpatim, in this strange scene at the end of Perek of Dalet, where Moshe is literally flinging blood at Klal Yisrael, half the blood on the Mizbeach, half the blood on the Jewish people. It's the deepest crease of the bris. And therefore concludes the Ohev of Yisrael in the last paragraph, U'mi'atal pi kol edvar me'ela navol bira psukim v'amedrash tanchuma. Now I want to come back to what Chazal said, ki sisa es rosh b'nei Yisrael lefkudehem, ki sisa, when we want to, ki sisa, to count the heads, to lift up the heads, to give chashivas to the Jewish people. You would think if you want to be chashiv, you should give a whole shekel. Why do you give a half a shekel? Why are we commanded as we're counted, we're being counted? That means not just a census, a number count. Hashem's saying, you count, you're important to me. I care about each and every one of you. I want you to give a half a shekel. Why half a shekel? Why not a whole shekel? Hashem says, no, because I'm going to give the other half of the shekel. I'm going to meet you halfway. We're going to partner together, so to speak, in creating a shekel shalom, a full shekel. The Svarim point out that the gematria of the word shekel is the same as nefesh. And like we said, ki adam hu nefesh. So the mingling of the shkalim and the mingling of the bloods is actually very, very similar. It's a mingling of our soul with the soul of Hashem. It's this recognition that without you, Hashem, I'm only half a person. And Hashem, so to speak, says back to us, kibiyachal, as it were, if we could say such a thing. Hashem says to us, leis melech below am. There could be no king without a people. So yeah, I need you and you need me. But my friends, that same feeling has to be felt when we look at the person next to us. It's not just, again, it's Parshas Mishpatim. Yes, it's the conclusion of Kabbalah Satorah, or maybe an introduction, based on the chronology of Kabbalah Satorah. Right? But immediately, there's a lot of Bein Adam L'Chaver, because Hashem says, as deep as the bond exists between you and me, I'm half a shekel and you're half a shekel, you get some of the blood, I get some of the blood, Sanhedrin, you would bring half the Torah, but I also bring half the Torah, Hashem says. But the same thing has to be true when we look at another Jew. We have to respond to the Haman who's going to claim that you're mefuzar mefura, that you don't really care about the person sitting next to you. And you say, I'm good on my own, I'm a complete person, I don't need a donation from this person to complete myself. And it's not true. Klal Yisrael, we need each other to complete each other. And that's the lesson of the Hafshah. That's the lesson of Parshas Mishpatim. Again, as we come to Chodesh Adar, reminding ourselves over and over and over again in this parsha about the sensitivity we have to have to that fellow Jew who's also one with us. And I'm only left as a half, an incomplete half, if I don't care about that person sitting next to me. Let me give you a couple of examples. There's a couple of psukim in the parsha. There's a lot. But I want to tell you a couple of stories and use a couple of psukim in the parsha just to make this point in the last couple of minutes. In source number 10, we have a pasuk in this week's parsha. Kol almana v'yasom lo se'anun. Do not cause anguish, tsar, and the agmas nefesh. Be sensitive, extra sensitive perhaps, to an almana, to a widow, and to a yasom, to a person who doesn't have parents. So I'll tell you an unbelievable story that happened in Yerushalayim of old. In Mei Sharim, there's a section called Batei Rand. There was a mikveh there. There was a mikveh there once upon a time when it was still under the rule of the British mandate. And they wanted to shut down the mikvah. The government wanted to shut down the mikvah. Why do they want to shut down this mikvah? Because they said it doesn't meet a certain standard of hygiene. And if you're not going to allow it to operate under our jurisdiction, under our approval, then we're going to shut down the mikvah. Now, who was in charge of this mikvah? Who was in charge of the upkeep of this mikvah? There was a widow who lived in the area who was in charge of this mikvah. So they realized they have to make a choice at this point. They have to figure out what's going to be with this mikvah. So a lot of people said, listen, they're going to end up shutting down the mikvah because it's not being kept up to the standards. So we have to fire this widow. We have to get rid of her and appoint someone who can really, you know, properly take care of the mikvah. And they went to a Rav, Rav Chaim Tzvi Eisenbach, Zecher Tzadik L'Vracha, and they asked him, they said, you know, we have to, it's time to, I mean, it was nice enough to let this widow, like, you know, work in the mikvah for some time, but it's time to get rid of her, otherwise they're going to shut down the mikvah. A holy mikvah. And Rav Eisenbach looked at them and he said, what are you talking about? Let them shut down the mikvah. You're asking me to fire an almana? A widow? We're gonna put pressure on her to make her feel like she's not doing a good enough job? Better, your priorities are all mixed up. Better to not have a mikvah, imagine to shut down the mikvah, better to be mavater on the kedusha of the mikvah than to even do something which could slightly cause pain to this woman. To even tell her that she's not doing a good enough job, I'm not comfortable doing such a thing. That was the sensitivity. Mikvah, kedusha, ben adam lamakom, but ben adam lachaver. Ben adam lachaver, the Torah says, kol almana lo se'anun, don't cause any harm to an almana. So if they have to shut down the mikvah to not cause pain or anguish to this woman, so be it. It was clear to him. And unfortunately, it's not always so clear to us. We err sometimes, we mix up. Are ben adam l'chaveira, and we're not sensitive the way that we're supposed to be. How about the famous Gemara of Rabbi Akiva? The Gemara tells a story, and the Gemara teaches us a halacha in Bava Metzia, source number 11. You have two people who are traveling in the desert with one cup of water. What's the halacha? So, a discussion in the Gemara. Ben Petura says, better they should each share the drink a little bit, and they'll die together. Right? Maybe you should consider giving the drink to your friend. Comes along Rabbi Akiva in a very famous statement in source number 11. And Rabbi Akiva says, V'chei achicha imach, your friend should live with you. Imach means, chayecha kodmim l'chayecha vercha. If you're the one who's fortunate enough to have the water bottle, and you drink the water bottle, and you say goodbye to your friend. You don't have to split it with your friend. V'hafta l'vecha kamocha. Says Rabbi Akiva, no. V'chei achicha imach, your friend should live with you. If you can live and he can also live, help him. If it's not enough water to go around, drink the water bottle, and so be it. Chayecha kodmim l'chayecha vecha. And that's learned from the word imach. But there's other imachs in the Torah, which we learn a little bit differently. Take, for example, a Jewish slave, which is a big topic in this week's parsha. We have other psukim in the Torah that talk about a slave. It's verse 12 and 13. V'chi yamur achicha imach. If your friend becomes impoverished with you, v'nimkar lach, and is sold slavery to you, lo sa'avod bo avodas aved. Make sure you treat him like a lowly slave. In fact, the honor that we give to a slave, as we're about to see, is very, very... Or how about the Pasuk in Parshas Re'eh? V'hayu ki yomar elecha lo etzei me'imach. I don't want to leave you. Ki ahevcha v'ezbeischa ki tov lo mach. He keeps saying the word imach. It's good for me, imach, with you. What does that imach teach? Rabbi Akiva's imach taught us that if there's one bottle of water, chayecha kod, own life comes first. What does this imach teach? Says the Gemara in Kedushin in the final source. Tanu. Ki tov lo imach, but the slave says, it's good with you. Imach b'maychal, imach b'mishta. Your slave has to eat food just as good as you. He has to be given drinks that are just as delicious. Shalote ata oichal pasnikia. You can't eat fine bread and give your slave anything less. You can't drink fine wine and give your slave anything less. You can't sleep comfortably on a pillow and a mattress, and have your slave sleep al gabei tevin on a pile of straw, because the pasuk says imach with you. Treat him as good as yourself. Treat him equal to yourself. Mikan amru kol akona eved ivri kekona adon laatzma. Wow, says the Gemara. It's one of the big topics of our parsha. One who acquires an eved, a Jewish slave, for himself, has acquired a master for himself, because you have to go so above and beyond to take care of him. Imach. Make sure his food is good, make sure his lodging is good, make sure his clothing is good. Imach, he gets everything as good as you. The Panovitcher Rav, when he first came to Bnei Brak, he built an orphanage. And he was trying to fundraise for this orphanage. He wanted people to donate pillows and blankets and the like to the orphanage. And he asked exactly this question. He said, why by Rabbi Akiva does imach mean chayecha kodmin l'chayecha vercha? Two Jews on vacation, they run out of water, they're traveling in the wilderness, they get lost in the desert. You have an extra bottle of water, your friend doesn't. Imach allows you to drink the bottle of water. Chayecha kodmin, your life comes first. And yet here, by the Jewish slave, imach means imach mamish. Imach with you. Everything you have, he gets as well. How could that be? It's the same word. So the Panovich Rav said, anyone who knows how to read the Torah understands that you have to just look at the context. Who is this Jewish slave? Who are Jewish slaves? You can't just go to the supermarket and buy a Jewish slave. What's a Jewish slave? How does someone become a Jewish slave? It's a tragedy. This Jewish slave was your neighbor until last week. And he was going through a tough time financially. And he lost his money. And because of that, he stole. Rahman al-Itzlan. He's a good guy. You've known him for years. And now all of a sudden, he got himself into some trouble and he doesn't have the means to pay back. And now, how is he going to pay off the money that he owes you? He's going to work for you. So this imach, if you understand how Hashem is speaking to you through the Torah, imach, understand, imach, this one has been with you for a long time. He's your friend, he's your neighbor, he's been your chavrusa. Now all of a sudden he's your slave because of a bad turn of events. That the imach over here has to be, treat him well. He's not a bad person, right? He's not a person who doesn't deserve your love and your respect and your concern to help him get out of this mess. The Torah understood. When two people were traveling in the desert, and you only had one bottle of water, so you were fortunate enough to have one bottle of water, but this person's going through such a tough time. Imach has to be more than you put yourself first. And if you're paying attention to the suffering of this individual, how could you not want him? How could you sleep in a comfortable bed when someone else who's going through such a tough time is not? And with that, the Panovich Rav turned to the people who he was collecting tzedakah from and said, and therefore I'm asking you to support the orphanage that I'm trying to build in Bnei Brak. Because how could you not have the rachmanis that should be so obvious for a Jew to have? Imach, to provide for this almana, to provide for this yasum, to provide for people who don't have. That's the way a Jew reads the Torah. It was obvious to the Panovich Rav and it should be obvious to us as well. So this is the way that we fight against Haman. This is the way that we prepare for Purim. This is the way we put the finishing touches on Kabbalah Satorah. This is the way that we give our half shekel, our partnership with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and our partnership with one another. And I will leave you with a quote at the bottom of the page, which I think about all the time. It is well to remember that the entire universe, with one trifling exception, is composed of others. We sometimes get so caught up in our own little world, but we have to remind ourselves, there's only one little me, and there's a lot of everyone else. So let's try to be good to each other. Again, the way that we fight against Haman, the way that we overturn that Lashon Hara, of the greatest Baal Lashon Hara of all time. To look out for one another, to be sensitive to one another, to not be Mifuzar and Mifurad on top of that, but to make sure that we take care of each other in preparing ourselves for Purim, and again, putting those final touches on Kabbalah Satorah. Have a great day.